It's March the 4th, 2020. Duke Ellington, you know this song. Familiar if you're African American, and if you say that you love the culture that you grew up in, Take the A Train is one of your favorite pieces, written by the great late Duke Ellington, the Duke of Jazz. Do you remember that historic picture taken in Harlem with all those famous jazz artists? From time to time, I put it up on my website, and I felt extreme shame today. I must tell you about it. I experienced racism right up front. Not directed at me, but maybe indirectly directed at me. I don't know. I discovered today that I hate. I want you to feel what I'm saying. I hate. I have felt disgust in my life before. I've had occasions to prompt my feelings of human disgust for other human beings. I recall once I went to a place of eating with two other guys, and I felt a sense of disgust when one of the guys started speaking about me very poorly in the company of other people in the restaurant that heard it. I felt more disgust for him because he was drunk and really out of his gourd. And I thought that I disliked him. It wasn't a point of forgiving him. I know when a man drinks, the liquor comes out. And what that man does is he tries to humiliate the other man that he can't quite intelligently cope with without stooping to lower degrees. But the kind of racism that I experience today is like when I listen to Take the A-Train and I think of Count Basie and I think of how his orchestra, although they played at the Cotton Club, which was one of Harlem's famous musical spots, they played primarily in front of white audiences who paid top dollar to hear some of the greatest jazz artists in the history of this country, and they happened to be black, and those black people were not allowed to attend the finer restaurants in New York. I'm talking about the Count. Wasn't allowed. Blacks were not allowed. I had, some of you know, I came in my first contact with racism. I guess it was racism when I was 18 years old working at IHOP down here in Inglewood on Manchester and Hillcrest, waiting on the bus to take me home. I think I was 17, 18 years old. At that time, I had to take the Firestone bus because Manchester wasn't Manchester Boulevard all the way to Alameda until a few years had passed, but it was Firestone Boulevard. And then they changed it into, when it was going east from the railroad tracks, Graham Street and all that, they changed the name of the street. Well, that's when I was a young man. And then, of course, I've told the story. As a matter of fact, I was sharing that story the other day when I went to Dorothy's Donut House in Leesville, Louisiana, after I had finished my basic training and attempted to order a glazed donut when I was told by a racist white woman, I'm assuming she was, I never had anyone talk to me like that. I was then 21, and I said, I'd like to have a glazed donut, please. That's the way I said it. And she looked at me and frowned up and said, we don't serve niggers, N-E-G-R-A-S, niggers here. I had just finished my basic training, my 10-week training. Myself and some companions of mine that had finished it, we were given our first weekend pass after the 10 weeks, and we went into Leesville to get some homemade food, just experience Americana. Now, keep it in mind, that's the first time that I had been outside of Los Angeles, and I was called a nigra. Well, I was told that Dorothy told me that she didn't serve niggers, and I shot back with spontaneity without even any regard to how deep the implications of her racism was. I said, but I didn't order a nigger, I ordered a glazed donut. And upon hearing that, the fellow soldiers with me laughed, and a white man came out of the back, had on an apron. He was obviously an employee there. I thought that he was going to come out and clobber me. He came out and he walked in the middle of the floor and he looked at, I'm assuming that it was his wife, Dorothy. The donut house was named after her. And he said, I'm sick of you. And this is what he said. Because, see, he he hated hate also. Because when you hate hate, you have to do something. And I hated hate, and I didn't do something the way I should have done it today, because I simply knew that it was a lost cause. See, I'm kind of like, who's that Catholic priest in the old movies back in the days? Father O'Hara or whatnot, in those old black and white movies. Pat O'Brien usually played the priest that was always attempting to help the Argang guys, those New York hooligans. They would do teenage things and get in trouble. And Father Mahoney, or whatever his name was, he was Irish, always came, even when the boys got put in jail, I'm that kind of a dude. I want to help somebody. So that's why I didn't call out this racism. I want to share with you the kind of racism it was. It was the kind that really makes me disdain a person for their foolishness. And it goes along with a lot of the stuff that I have been talking about on my webcast here recently, about how you can be influenced. You can be influenced by other people, other ways, other methodologies. And when you take a good look at who you really are and how you are really coming across, you would find yourself to be a terrible person. I was going to take someone to a late breakfast. And it's always my choice to choose the place. And I, with this particular friend, had been to many of the nicer restaurants on the west side. And so I thought that I would go to what I figured was one of the nicest ethnic restaurants near my home. And it happened to be of an island nature. These people are from an island, but they make very good fish. And I was thinking about my friend. And we go in, and he mentions the restaurant by name, and he kind of says their name and like that. Like he didn't expect much. So I didn't count anything, because I knew he'd never eaten this kind of food. But I live in Los Angeles, and it's like if a friend of mine would come here to visit me, I'll take him to the eateries that I usually go to. I mean, that's the way I feel about things like that. So we walked in, and they hadn't quite started to prepare the lunch menus. It seems like they had just opened up. But we got there, and we were the first, no, maybe the second customer. Some other people were ordering out. And we sat down, and I had already determined that I wasn't very hungry, because I don't eat that kind of food a lot. I only go there for a special dish that I really like to partake of, but I don't eat there a lot. And I thought that it would be nice for this friend of mine. Well, the waiter comes up, and it's the way my friend, this black man, start to speak to this other black man, the way he was asking him what kind of food he had there. And it was in a tone that was, well, it was condescending. You know, as if someone of high rank and value. I mean, whenever I go into a restaurant, if I'm unfamiliar with the kind of food they have, I read the menu. That's what I would do. I'd read the menu to find out what kind of food is there. That's why they usually give you a menu and give you an opportunity to go through that menu and see if you like what you have there. And my friend didn't take the time to do that. He just asked a very abrupt question, do you have any fish? Listen to Harcourt protecting me. And the man said, yes. And he said, what kind? And he said, catfish. And the man said, oh, I like catfish. And the man looked at me and I said, no, 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 I'll just have these little things that look like my wife used to cook them years ago, lumpia, but they're not called lumpia. Practically every island people has their own kind of fried lumpia cakes with meats in it. And I kind of like those. And so that's all I ordered. And I ordered a scoop of mashed potatoes. That's all. I didn't, because I wasn't hungry. But this is for my friend, just to get him out. Because my friend is a senior citizen like myself. So just to get him out. And I know how important it is for old people like myself to get out. I thank God I passed the test for my driver's license, and they send me my new license, and I'm rolling down the street, okay? So, anyhow, we order, and he says, well, what else come with this stuff? And it's just the way he was asking the man questions, and I'm looking in both of these black men's face. And I know the man is, you know, he begins to explain, we just opened up and it'll take this long for this lunch and to do this. And I said, sir, we understand. We are not in a hurry to go anywhere. You just take your time. Thank you very much for informing us. That's the way I am. I see this expression on my friend's face. And this expression, and I immediately say, listen, I'm sorry I chose this place. I just thought that the food would be delightful. And he said, oh no, I'm not in a hurry. No, it's okay. I don't mind the wait. I said, okay.
Harcourt, hush.
I'm sorry about that. Anyhow, after a good wait, 20-minute wait, and other people started to come in, order things, and leave. Because, you know, it's a family place. And that's why I really thought that the brother would have appreciated this, because it's a black business ran by black people, cooking the kind of food that black people love to eat when they get together, albeit island people, but brothers. Well, when the food came, I began to nibble on the potato salad. It wasn't the best potato salad. It wasn't made in the style that I liked it. It was, the potatoes were cooked and everything else. I ate a little bit of it. I ate most of the little four patties that they gave me with the meat inside of it. And my friend ordered this trout with the potato salad and with some other things that came with it. But he concentrated on the trout, or the catfish, that is. And I'm telling you, I watched him eat the catfish, and it reminded me of another man that I went to dinner with when I was a professor at the college. And this other professor, whose class I took over because he had a problem with people. I'll never forget. I'll get back to the restaurant place that I was at. But when I go back to the other one, the man was eating with his hands and spitting out the food that he didn't put in his mouth to go down his stomach. Instead of putting it on a plate or on a side plate, he spewed the waste material on the table in the restaurant. And he was a Jewish gentleman, double PhD, very intelligent, very well versed, and ate in that way. And he was half drunk when he went to the restaurant to eat. Obviously, something was on his mind. And I knew that I was dealing with that. Well, the person that I was with today was eating in the same way. Eating the catfish and leaving chowed up meat and skin and bones on the table next to the plate in a big pile. I'm sitting directly across from the man. Not only I saw it, but when people came in the restaurant, they saw it. And I recall when I asked the white man, he is now dead, that was doing that. I asked him, how could you do that? And he said, well, I'm a Jew. And these people in this restaurant are white boys. And I'm showing them some disgust. And this black man did exactly the same thing in my presence. I know I could not hide my facial expressions, but I looked at him with tremendous disdain. I have never felt that in my 76 years of life. I have never, ever felt so ashamed, not only for me because I was at the table with him, but as I stared at him, glared, I should say, at him, I wanted to say, what the muffety, 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 muff are you doing, and have you no decency at all? I have never seen that kind of behavior, ever. It is the kind of behavior that a person that hates another person would display. And I know this person because I've seen this person eat on various occasions. And he has never done anything like that. But in this black man's eating place, this black man is behaving in such a way. Now, I just hate. I can't be around it. And I'm going to have to, without bringing up the incident, I'm going to have to tell my friend, you know what, man? I'm busy. That's what I think I'll just lightly drop it. I'm busy. I'm beginning to at 76. Damn it. If you don't have enough sense of how to act in a public forum. And you know what? That was hatred at the, and I know this man to be very generous when it comes to leaving gratuity for the help. He's very nice when it comes to women, Asian women, or these other kind of women that kiss up to him. When women kiss up to me in a restaurant, I don't pay it any attention. I'm there for the food, if you get my drift. But I've seen him accommodate people. But while I was seeking to leave at the front door because of my embarrassment, because the man asked when we were both at the counter, he said, "How was everything? Did you enjoy the food?" And the man said, "No, not really." And I said to the restaurant owner, "Oh, he enjoyed that fish. There's not a piece of meat left on any of the bones on that fish that he ate. I mean, he ate it all. He sucked the skeleton dry." I just didn't like the way he left the food on the table. It was uncouth. You could have asked for a saucer. And there was napkins. You cover that up. You just look like you just devoured a beast, and oh my God. So anyhow, I know that the man experienced it. I feel ashamed. I have never felt so ashamed in my life to be acquainted with someone that would do another brother in such a way. I have eaten in many places, and I respect the people that prepare the food, set the food on a plate, and set it in front of us, and go through all of that trying to make us happy. And at the end of this thing, this man was at the counter, and when he paid his tip, he said, "You can take $5 extra out of there for the tip." And I know this man to give $20 tips, no less than that, in every white restaurant that he goes to. But when he is a black man, goes into a black establishment, he may throw them five. I found that to be disgusting. And you know what? I've seen people struggle to live and to try to make a life for themselves. Y'all listen to me. But if you ever have a attitude or disposition about your own damn people, I know. When you drive through certain parts of town, there's no graffiti on the walls. There's no trash in the street. There's nobody like me going down the street with my music playing rather loud. I enjoy my jazz. I love to get into it. I don't care where I am, long as I'm not disturbing the peace. Riding in my car, usually I put my windows up, leave my sunroof open, put the screen back, let that sunlight hit my forehead, and play my jazz. It's black music. If some sojourner asks me what am I listening to, I say that's Les McCann on the piano, and in the background singing is Lou Rawls. Know the history of them, my people. Whenever I think of a black establishment, I love to go frequent it, to go eat there. I'd love to leave $40 tips for the help there. They really need it. I told this friend of mine, I said, "I see the way you throw your tips around to certain waitresses." I said, "But what you don't know is all that money goes into a tip box and it's all split up. So she's not getting anything from you." I just said, I thought I'd tell you that because that's the way it goes in most restaurants in Los Angeles, unless you have a personal thing with somebody. But I have never, I hate hate. And he couldn't love a brother that can't love another brother. Man, wait a minute. No, that's impossible. That's impossible. But I'm gonna have to sever my relationship. And I'm going to give him the reason why. Because I just, no, I hate hate. He should have told me. No, but I told him that it was a black establishment. I said, black people cook too. Black people eat. It's just a shame when people live on that level. Well, just my thoughts. What the old man is going through. I'm doing good. I'm feeling better. A little birdie is telling me since I'm putting weight back on, I'm eating too much ice cream and stuff, that I have to start hitting my weight equipment tomorrow when the sun comes up because it is getting warmer and I can work out, listen to my headset, listen to some jazz, and work out. So that's what I'm going to do. Thank you for coming to my website. I really appreciate you.